Welcome to another podcast from Evergreen. I'm Peter White, and my guest today is Angela Ashton, founder and CEO of Evergreen Consultants. Evergreen have just launched a groundbreaking new advisor tool, a responsible investing index, allowing a simple and quick comparison of the responsible investing qualities and characteristics of more than 600 investment funds. Angela, congratulations on the development and launch of the new product. Let's get to nitty-gritty first. It's called the Evergreen Responsible Investment Grading, or ERIG, or ERIG. Before we go further, how are you referring to this new product?
Thanks, Peter. Either ERIG or ERIG seems to be the way that people say it. Obviously, I don't have any preference. Suffice to say that probably none of us here at Evergreen should be in an advertising agency, but hopefully ERIG or ERIG is sufficiently different from anything else that people will know what it is.
Turning now to how ERIG works. In fact, there are two categories of ERIG measurement or rating, the quartile ranking and the seven different RI variables. Can you maybe talk us through that?
So we initially actually score on the seven RI variables. The RI variables are based on the REA, and REA is the Responsible Investment Association of Australasia, REA's investment spectrum. So they actually have seven categories of RI in there. And we effectively question managers on each of the seven spectrums, and we can give them a score in each of those seven categories. From there, we can determine a quartile ranking for the fund based on, you know, the universe of funds in that area. The seven RI variables will give you a lot of information as to what a manager does well and poorly with respect to RI, because there's different parts of RI. And then the quartile ranking really just gives you a quick snapshot as to where the manager sits compared to everyone else.
Well, I guess that raises the question, which score or category of score is likely to be more used in terms of, you know, for advisors making client recommendations? Do you expect them to revert to the simple quartile rating, or do you expect them to use the seven RI categories, or do you expect a combination of both?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination of both. The feedback we've had so far is that. So some people initially screen on the quartiles and look for first quartile managers. Those advisors or clients who want something very specific with respect to what they want in RI. So either, you know, specific negative screens, or they want some impact investing, or something else, will look at the seven RI variables and then go from there and maybe look at quartiles as well. So I think it's a bit of mix and match, and it really depends on how much detail people want as to, you know, when they're choosing their RI investments.
You could argue it's slightly complicated, but in fact what it does, it allows you to have a level of deep diving or a shallow dive, depending on what the client and the advisor together want.
Exactly right. That quartile ranking just allows you to that quick snapshot that gives you a broad idea of what's going on. And then if you need more detail, then you can drill down to those seven RI variables.
In terms of how you come to your decisions and ratings on all the different variables, can you explain, I think you have a top-down process. And why do you go top-down rather than bottom-up? And what do the two mean?
In terms of the way that people look at responsible investment in funds, yeah, there's two broad ways, the bottom-up and the top-down. The bottom-up is what's primarily used and is very prevalent in the industry at the moment. So they would be the big providers of information, the big global providers of information on responsible investment. What they do broadly is they rate companies. So either through questionnaires or scraping of websites, they look at listed companies and give some sort of score on each of those companies based on a set of, you know, values or variables that each group comes up with. Then if you look at a managed fund, what those companies then do is just give a weighted average of the scores in the portfolio itself. We think there's a few drawbacks with that approach. Firstly, it doesn't work for things outside of equity. It's great for equity funds, but it starts to get a little bit messy when you start to look at things like fixed income. It's not quite as good. It also can move around a lot depending on the portfolio. So you could have a fund whose score changes from week to week and maybe even quite dramatically. So there's not a lot of consistency that's, you know, potentially built into that sort of process. When we started to look at this, we really wanted something that was going to be a little bit more robust with respect to managed funds, in terms of being able to look at all types of managed funds and probably being a little more consistent so that we could use those managed fund ratings for our work going forward and for advisors to rely upon them. So this top-down approach that we use really aligns a lot more closely with what consultants the world over do with respect to managed funds. That is looking at what the fund manager actually does in their investment process. In this case, we're just looking at RI or responsible investment. But, you know, to be broader about it, every consultant looks at what a fund manager does and makes decisions about fund managers based on their investment process. In our top-down approach on RI, we're looking at what a fund manager does and we score based on what they're doing. So it's much more aligned to what consultants broadly do. As a result, because we're looking at what fund managers do with respect to RI, it tends to be a lot more consistent over time. What you would hope is that scores slowly rise for everyone. And that's as they improve their RI processes. You want to hope to see that. But if a fund manager doesn't change their RI processes, really, their score's not going to change. So you can, with some reliability, rely on the score that eRig produces.
Can you give me an example of a bottom-up approach versus a top-down approach? Intuitively, I would have thought bottom-up is more granular, but obviously not.
Look, it is more granular. The problem is that it does make some assumptions. So if you think about, say, an international equity fund, for example, and you have a fund that holds, say, Facebook. Facebook is notorious with respect to this. So there are around 160 providers of bottom-up information, if we call it that, globally. And Facebook is a great example of a company that some providers of information score 80 out of 100 and others score 20 out of 100. So depending on how you look at Facebook and what's important to you and what's important to these bottom-up measurers, yes, of RI, Facebook, for example, can end up with a completely different score. So
what's the top-down approach to Facebook then?
So the top-down approach to Facebook is really about how does the manager look at responsible investment, and that shouldn't change over time. So Facebook will be whatever it is with respect to that manager. Whereas, you know, if you measure a portfolio based on one provider versus another, you can get completely different views. It can look really green or it can look really not green, depending on, you know, what some bottom-up provider of information thinks of Facebook, which is a little bit strange, or could end up with some very strange sort of consequences.
Now, it's not just about single funds. Really, what you've created is an advisor tool first and foremost. An advisor can rank or rate a whole portfolio. How does that work, the whole doing a macro portfolio rating rather than a stock or a bond?
We've actually already had feedback from advisors using this tool to check portfolios. So they may have built in the past some sort of responsible investment portfolio for a client using funds. And so they've come into our tool and they've rebuilt that portfolio using our functionality and looked at what quartile each fund is in. And in the specific case I'm thinking of, each fund was actually quartile one. So they were in the top 25% of all funds with respect to RI. And so the portfolio overall looked quite green, for want of a better word. So there's definitely a function whereby advisors can check portfolios and can build portfolios looking for, say, quartile one funds. They can also look for funds based on certain negative screens. So if they, say, have a client that doesn't want alcohol or other types of contentious investments in their portfolio, they can screen for all funds that don't invest in those sorts of investments, for example. So that really is, you know, when we do that sort of negative screening approach, that's really taking into account the information that's included in the seven RI variables we talked about before, because one of those RI categories is negative screening. So our ability to sort of, you know, provide advisors with both levels allows them either to build quartile one portfolios or screen for funds that, you know, don't invest in certain stocks or certain industries that, you know, you can then build portfolios from.
I know it's very early days yet, but we're having this discussion literally just weeks after the launch. But is it possible to summarise the feedback you're getting both from fund managers who are your rating and the feedback you're getting from the advisor community?
There's definitely been a few suggestions of things and, you know, sort of greater functionality, and we expected that and we wanted that. So, you know, we're looking forward to building out more functionality. But in terms of the feedback so far, it's been very broadly positive, and I feel sort of funny saying that. It has actually really been really positive.
Is that coming from both sides of the ledger,
yeah,
fund managers and the advisors, or more the advisors?
both. So we've already had fund managers who are going to include it on their website, and they have chosen our approach against a number of our peers. A couple of our peers are bringing out approaches with respect to how they look at responsible investment in managed funds. And we have had fund managers say to us that they believe our approach is superior and that they're going to start to include our approach on their website, and they're going to start to, advertise their quartile ranking with respect to their funds, and that they think that our approach is more robust than some of our competitors, which is incredible feedback at this
stage. Putting your objective or neutral hat on, could you put hand on heart and say your approach is more thorough or more detailed than what your peers are doing or developing?
I honestly believe that what we have done is more practical and really goes to the heart of what advisors and investors want when they're looking for responsible investment on managed funds.
And I guess the market will make that decision, won't it? But so far, so good, you're saying.
Yeah, look, I'm not the sort of person that wants to, just tell you great news, because I don't think that often sounds very honest. But the reality is, so far, to my understanding, I haven't heard anything negative.
You don't favour the Trump approach?
No. I'm not that sort of person. I tend to be more honest and blunt than...
Good to hear.
I think that what we do aligns much more with what advisors need.
Now, my reading of the media release in doing my research, it seems like you're not charging. Now, normally it's pay to play in the ratings business. If I've got a fund, I pay you to rate it. But that's not your business model.
No. We're not going to charge funds to be rated. And what we want to do is obviously build up a really industry-wide approach to this. So we would prefer to have all funds as opposed to, only the few who will pay. And so far we've done quite well. We've had 600 funds through our rating process. We do charge fund managers to use the ratings rather than, for the rating. We charge them to, market it and use it more broadly. Advisors are charged a minimal amount to use the site as well. It's free at the moment, and we'll have a free trial for a few months. But after that, it'll be $25 a month for an advisor to use the site. And that'll allow them to build portfolios and store them and so on and get all the content that's in there. So we're building out quite a bit of content.
Presumably you've done your homework. It sounds like a hard way to make a quid, but you obviously the business model works from your research and your projections.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm not planning to retire based on this product, but that's okay. We'll cover our costs. We'll make enough money to reinvest and make this better. I think what we're really aiming to do here is to build a product that is really becomes the standard here in Australia with respect to RI in managed funds. So I think our approach is really to build the best thing we can and make sure that it's broadly used and broadly accepted.
Angela, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Peter.
And good luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.